say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Another beautiful day here in Kingman, Arizona. About 60 degrees right now. Going to warm up pretty nice, mid-70s before the end of the day. A tad bit of breeze, but kind of got to expect that here. We're going to have Brady Wilson with us this morning. I sent him a link, and hopefully he can be able to sign in here as a guest. But we've also got plan A and B if that doesn't work. We're going to continue our adventure and along Route 66 in Texas this morning and talk a little bit about what's going on there. And while we wait for that to get set up, we'll share a few other updates with you. Finalizing details, it looks like June 18th, I will be in Grants, New Mexico, talking about the New Mexico Mining Museum, talking about the Great American Road Trip, have some fun there. Be on my way to the Tulsa with the Route 66 Road Fest. Also on the schedule, on May 24th, I will be at the Historic Elks Theater in Prescott, Arizona, with Bob Bowes Bell of True West Magazine, kicking off his 66 Kids Road Show. A little bit of good old-fashioned music and a few laughs about growing up on Route 66. And pretty good. But you can find the whole schedule on the Jim Hinckley's America website, jimhinckleysamerica.com. Hey, Mr. Brady Wilson, how are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm good. It seems like I got it going now. I thought I could do this. Seems that is not the case. So I am on my cell phone again.
No problem. Whatever we got to do to get the job done.
Right. Well, I'm doing great. How are you this morning?
You know, I'd have to be dead a week for it to get better than this.
Oh, I can feel that. I got some good sleep last night here at the Cactus Inn Motel in McLean, Texas, and can't ask for anything better.
No. Hey, we were talking to Angela last week about, she's the owner there at the Cactus Inn Motel, and we were talking with her last week about Cactus Inn and all the things happening in McLean, Texas.
She is a go-getter.
She is. You know, she's really an inspirational gal. She really is.
Yes.
So God bless. Brady, you are one of the faces of a new generation on Route 66. So I'm very glad you could join us this morning. We need some fresh blood and some fresh perspectives.
Well, I thank you for allowing me to. I mean, this is a great honor and pleasure to be here this morning. I try hard to inspire people in my generation, and it's a tough one because more and more people aren't understanding history a lot like they would way back when, and it's tough, but we're trying.
Well, you know, it's not really a recent phenomenon. History, for some reason, as long as when I was in school, history was taught as something. I think the teacher was sent to a special school so he could present history in a manner that was as exciting as a 3-day insurance seminar. It was boring. It was boring.
Well, and I know, speaking from a Southeast Texas student who went to a high school in a small town, I didn't have very good history teachers to begin with. So, you know, a good history teacher is hard to find. I'm a big believer in that. But I'm one that, you know, I may not understand all the history, but I really care to appreciate it and look back and reflect on it and see, you know, man, look at what life was like way back when.
And you know, Brady,
that's the point.
History teaches us that whenever you're alive, it's the best of times and it's the worst of times. It's just, you know, things are different. It's just that simple. Hey, speaking of history, you've been spending some time out there with the folks in Jericho, Texas, I understand.
I have. I'll head out back out there later today when I'm done with you guys. They had a cleanup day yesterday out there, and unfortunately, the rain got the best of us for a little bit. So we were all crammed up in a camper, drying off while the rain stopped. But they started doing some just cleaning up, weed eating, mowing the farm property. The Ashmead Homestead House, they were cleaning up and taking some of the wood and bricks that fell through out of the building and just make it look nicer. And the tourist courts as well, they were just cleaning up to make it look more presentable for travelers that come down that old little old dirt route.
That was kind of
today. Today they're going to do metal detecting out there if the weather allows. Supposed to rain again a little bit later on. About been midday today, but that's going to be fun, I tell you.
Yeah, you know, I knew of Jericho, and I knew of Jericho a little bit. I'd stopped. I'd done some photography. I poked around there some years ago, and I talked to Delbert True. Has a ranch down that way towards the Jericho Gap.
Yes, he does.
But until Bianca and everybody got a hold of this property and the stuff they've been turning up, you know, I never realized how vibrant that little town was at one time.
Oh yeah, it's crazy, and we recently discovered that Jericho and Alan Reed had a partnership bank.
Oh,
yeah.
Kind of a co-op situation.
A co-op situation. So they shared the same bank, and it was housed in Jericho for a while.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool story there. Yesterday, before I got there, I was a little late to the party. I had some other prior commitments to take care of, but Dora Maroney and Andy Maroney were doing some, you know, digging up some dirt and just, you know, smoothing out some spots around the old Ashmead homestead, and they discovered a sidewalk, I can't remember what kind of stone it was off the top of my head, but pretty much, you know, a sidewalk, and that was like striking gold, apparently, because, you know, you're talking decades worth of dirt on top of this sidewalk that nobody knew was there.
You know, it's amazing how fast a place can vanish.
Exactly.
You know, it's not ancient history. You know, we're talking, you know, the 20s, the 30s, you know, 100 years roughly. And in 100 years, a town can just disappear.
Right. Well, and even over in April 21st and 22nd, we were some of the association members were over in Alan Reed restoring the 1929. Oh, wait, that may be the wrong date off the top of my head. Let me double check real quick. The 1930 Texaco Super Service Station in Alan Reed. And we were cleaning up some dirt, and we discovered concrete that was piled up with dirt and cobblestone. I had no idea it was there. And it was that was the biggest gold mine I think we could ever see, because from the gas station over towards the old feed store building was concrete.
Hmm. Lots of lost stories. You know, one of the things about ghost towns, like Route 66, ghost towns have a universal appeal. There's just something about the forgotten stories, the empty places. It just seems to have an appeal that spans generations. People just have a fascination for it.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I sure do. I mean, every time I go out to one of these places, I just sit there for a few minutes and just think about and then listen to the you know, the birds chirping and the nature, and just like, man, I can only imagine what this was like, you know, in the 30s and 40s and so on and so forth.
Well, the reason I like ghost towns, one reason is it provides the perspective needed so we don't take ourselves too seriously. Because, you know, we're here today, we make contributions, we try to make the world a better place than when we got here. But, you know, very few people are going to remember us 2 or 3 years after we're gone. Don't take yourself too damn seriously.
Oh, I'm a big believer in that. Don't take yourself seriously. I mean,
no, not at all. You've got some pretty big events coming up out there. September and in June, right?
Well, June coming up, the first week of June, we have a 10-day celebration, the Texas Route 66 Festival, hosted by Amarillo National Bank and the Convention and Visitors Bureau of Amarillo. Amarillo National Bank is the sponsor. And so the Amarillo Convention and Visitors Bureau does all the planning for it, and they really do a very good job of planning. I'm pulling up the schedule right now, but they've got everything from bus tours east one day and west the next on old Route 66. Some of the outlying towns have some events going on during that week. Adrian, Texas will have a car show planned by the Dreammaker Station, the new shop that's opened up there. So if anybody is out and about and needs something to do that weekend, that's going to be June 8th at, I'm double checking here. This is not the right website, is it? No. But while I'm pulling that up, there's concerts and there's going to be a film showing in Amarillo at the Golden Light Cafe. And it's Route 66, A Journey Through Texas, filmed in 1998. By Panhandle PBS.
I just posted a link there for Visit Amarillo that has some information on the festival. Golden Light Cafe, that's a favorite of mine. They got some great buffalo burgers and some stew. And the Golden Light is down on 6. Been there since 1948, if I recall. 46, 48.
Is it still the oldest operating on 66, or has it
It might be the oldest in Texas, but we've got some places that are a bit older. The Berghoff in Chicago has been there since 1898, gotcha. And the Sycamore Inn out in Rancho Cucamonga, they've been going since about 1849.
So
that one might be a little bit older.
Right. Well, there's just a lot of events packed in that week. And to end it all off, we had this huge day celebration on 6th Street. The street will be closed from Georgia to the West Side, I believe Maryland Street this year. And vendors, food trucks, contests, car shows, pinup pageants, kids activities for the kids, Elvis impersonation concerts, you name it. Oh, my favorite, watching people try to eat corn dogs in a corn dog eating contest. that was interesting last year.
There's a connection. The corn dog is roughly it's attributed to Edwin Waldmeyer, Bob Waldmeyer's father. Is credited with coming up with that idea on the corn dog. And according to Bob Waldmeyer, when I talked to him about that, he said his dad came up with the idea cooking at the PX at the Amarillo Army Airfield during World War II.
Wow. That's some good history right there.
My pa always said, better to fill the head with useless knowledge than no knowledge at all.
I'm a big believer in that. I just took a college statistics class, and I thought, you know, this is very, very uninformative. I'm not enjoying it, but I'm going to get through it.
Well, yeah, just like eating an elephant one bite at a time.
Yep, you're right. But anyway, that big celebration on 6th Street is a fantastic day. It starts from about 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. that last day of the festival, and guys, if you can't come out for very much, come out for that. That's a fun time.
Well, you got to, so, you know, that's kind of neat for having a whole week on Route 66 in Texas, because a person could plan a whole vacation around that.
Yeah. This is probably the first year where we've been able to plan better with, you know, taking the, going out to the communities and having events there. We finally were able to do some of that stuff. Dreammaker Station, like I said, will have a car show in Adrian at the Midpoint Cafe area. And Shamrock will have music and food underneath the neon lights at the U Drop In. McLean here in Miss Angela is hosting the Cactus Rose Soiree event, which will happen in the evening and at her little tap house down here in downtown McLean. And I'm trying to think what, oh, this is a big one. The folks at Jericho are going to have a stargazing night.
Oh, great.
Yes. And they're going to have vendors and food trucks, and the Amarillo Astronomy Club will be out there with telescopes. And that's really what I'm looking forward to the most. I think it is this entire week. It's going to be a blast. So come on out to Jericho for stargazing night. That's the night of the 7th.
I'm sorry. I am going to miss that. Like I say, on the 18th, I'm scheduled to be in Grants, New Mexico. And then the weekend of the 23rd, I'm supposed to be in Tulsa for the AAA Route 66 Road Fest. Oh. So I'll be coming through the next week. I'll be missing this by a week.
Right. Well, that's too bad. But I should be able to see you then in Tulsa then, because I'm currently planning my way out there for Road Fest. So
yeah, it should be interesting. Texas Route 66 in Texas is like Kansas. They got short shift. You know, everything's bigger in Texas except Route 66. You guys kind of got short-ended on the mileage. But you've got so much there in Texas if people take a bit of time. How's Glen Rio doing out there on the border?
Glen Rio, you know, is now has a pot, a pot and weed shop. And I don't know. I try to be careful going out that way at the moment. I don't like to get involved with that kind of stuff. But well, the Texas side seems, it's still intact. I feel like there, I think I've seen some more graffiti out there, and it's not good. But the weed shop is thriving, apparently.
I like that analogy. The graffiti has become a plague, not just on Route 66, but just everywhere. I came through last year some really remote communities out in the Oklahoma Panhandle, and I was astounded by how much graffiti has taken over.
Yeah, and stickers. Graffiti and stickers. I mean, just, people just don't have any respect anymore for things. And
Yeah.
There's no sign that says, leave your mark. Don't leave your mark.
I will get a blog post up, get some information about the festival. I've also got this listed, of course, on Route 66 Navigation. There's a section on the Route 66 Navigation app for events, and I've got that posted for you. And hopefully it'll encourage a few road trips there.
Yes, and the biggest thing that I'm looking forward to, because I've been helping with this new project, and you probably know where I'm going with this now. We are people in Texas here, myself, Dora Maroney, Andy Maroney, Stephanie Daggett, Greg Kahn at the Milburn Price Museum in Vega, and Blanca Schaefer are all partnering with Bobby Lee at the Big Texan Restaurant to help restore and recreate the Bug Ranch and move that attraction to Amarillo. So that's what we've been working on since about March. It's we've been busy.
moving it out from Mosse. It was Conway, wasn't it?
Where was it? It was in Conway, in the community of Conway, and there was some trouble going on and issues with the landowner and the person that was living on the property and some stuff that I'm not going to get into, of course. And
No.
None of it's positive, I will say that. But we're fixing to change that frown upside down and get this thing back. And we're going to make it 10 times better than it was. And that's what matters. We're going to actually put these off I-40 in front of the Big Texan RV Ranch on 1415 Sunrise Drive in Amarillo. And we're going to bury the five original Volkswagens in the ground. However, Jim, Bobby Lee also has some limos that he's going to put in the ground as well. We're going to put concrete out there. Still going to be able to spray paint cars. But the concrete is going to be a big thing for a lot of people. And, go ahead.
I was going to say, because that's one of the problems of the Cadillac Ranch. That turns into, man, if you don't have your hip waders in a good rain, you might just disappear out there.
Right. We're also going to have, we're basically doubling the amount of cars out there. He was donated Volkswagens. Bobby Lee was. He was given Volkswagens to put out there. So we're basically going to branch out and have expansions throughout the next few months and years to come. So starting out, there should be about 10 Volkswagens or so, and then limos lining the concrete going out to the bugs. We're going to have some silos out there just for aesthetics and appeal. And later on, Bobby Lee also purchased the old Combine Ranch that's south of Amarillo going towards Claude, Texas.
Okay. You know, Bobby Lee, Amarillo is kind of fascinating. Two of your biggest attractions, the Cadillac Ranch and the Big Texan Steakhouse, neither one are actually on Route 66, but they're two of the biggest attractions in the area. And, you know, Bobby Lee, he does a pretty good job of just selling Amarillo, selling Texas, and selling Route 66, and, of course, selling beef.
Yes. Have you ever had a chance to sit down with him?
No. You know, I have never met the gentleman. It'd be a real opportunity. I'd like to do that.
Well, maybe we can work that out on your way back from Tulsa.
I would like that very much.
He's such a great, great guy to get to know and does a lot for Amarillo, like you said, and the community. And, it's sad that the Bug Ranch is no longer in Conway, but people think it was on 66 to begin with, and it really wasn't. It was just off I-40 in Conway. 66 did not go north of the town. And so it's not about, you know, keeping things on the actual road. It's about the journey the road takes you.
And yes.
I'm a big believer in that right now. And just saving this property is going to be huge, and we're going to make it 10 times better. And Bobby Lee's main focus is to make sure that we have one more option to help get folks to stay another night in Amarillo.
Well, you know, that's the idea. The first thing to do is exactly what you're doing, building a sense of community and community purpose, building the cooperative partnerships. And then from there, that's your foundation. You start building things to get people to spend an extra day or two. And if you can get people to spend an extra day or two and they start seeing what you have, you make it a place people want to visit, you might just entice them into staying a little bit longer, like 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years. You get people moving. You get people opening businesses.
Yeah, right? That's what they did to me. I'm going to stay here a lot longer now. I moved 9.5 hours away from Huntsville, Texas, southeast Texas in the Piney Woods, and an hour north of Houston. And don't get me wrong, I love my hometown, but there's something about the Texas Panhandle that just drew me here. One for college and just for live life and experience life. And here I am, and I wouldn't want to have it any other way. So,
well, very good. You know, that's how it starts. Next thing you know, you've bought yourself an old motel somewhere, and then, you know, that just one thing's going to lead to another, Brady.
Or become the treasurer of the Bug Ranch Association when you're not entirely sure how to do that, but we're figuring it out, Jim, I tell you.
One step at a time, my friend. Yep, one step at a time.
They voted me treasurer of the new Bug Ranch Association, which is a great honor to have.
Shamrock is, I'm glad that you're doing events too in Shamrock. Shamrock is a great little town, but it needs a boost too. It needs a little bit of help.
It does. Yeah. It does, in fact. They're doing Underneath the Neon, of course, in June for the festival. And that should be a fun time. They're going to be included with the bus tour. They're the lunch stop on the East Side bus tour. That's a tongue twister sometimes.
Under the Neon. Have you ever heard that song by the Road Crew? Under the Neon?
I have.
Yes.
I do enjoy the Road Crew, and I'm kind of sad. I'm not going to Galena or Joplin to see them like some of our Texas folks here are. Dora and her husband and the Daggett family are going. I wasn't able to make it work, but that's okay.
Well, there's another example of building partnerships. Renee Charles and the crew there in Galena, and of course, Pat Tuttle over in Joplin, Missouri. They work hand in glove together to support the two communities, and it pays dividends. That's going to be quite a kickoff. Their kickoff for the Route 66 Centennial Festival out there in Galena promises to be pretty impressive.
That's what I've been told. I'm looking forward to it. Maybe I can plan better next year.
Well, you know, it's just hard to do them all. And if we're going to dare to dream, we might as well dream big and just plan on attending the European Route 66 Festival in Prague.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, absolutely. That is a dream. Hopefully I can get over there one year. Those folks are doing some great things out there in Prague.
Yeah. Yeah. Zenek is... Well, he's a real mover and shaker, and he's passionate about Route 66. He's on the road currently.
They're probably in New Mexico by now, I think.
Yeah, they were in Santa Fe the day before yesterday. I'll be meeting with him here in Kingman on the 15th.
Awesome. I unfortunately missed him. I was taking my last final exam for the semester, but... I just watching what they do on social media and hearing about it. They do some good work.
You what are you chasing in college?
Chasing is a good question. but I'm getting my major in agricultural communications and education. I will get my master's in ag education later on down the road at some point. But I grew up in the agricultural industry. We have a production poultry farm in Garrison, Texas, in deep East Texas, that we raise poultry for Tyson's for meat production. And my parents are both ag education teachers in a small town here in Texas. And it's just something that I've been infested with and been around all my life that doesn't seem just right to leave. You know what I mean?
Yeah, very good.
In ag communications, it's almost like education, but you're learning some, how do you communicate agriculture to the general public? And you're learning things such as photography, a little bit of digital media, graphic design, social media management, producing infographics to show, how the cattle market is changing, things like that. So it's very broad and very intriguing, and I enjoy every minute of it. What I've learned in the classroom has helped me on 66 a little bit. I've helped people, redesign their logos. I've helped put book stamps here on the route in Texas for like the Devil's Rope Museum just by doing some graphic design and getting the stamp made. Doing some posters.
That's what it's about. We need the volunteers on there, but this sounds like really fascinating work that if I was about 50 years younger, I'd probably enjoy myself. I've always worked a lot of ranches when I was younger, and of course, I'm always fascinated when you can take something old and blend it with something new to create something.
Absolutely. And that's what I see here. And it, I mean, just on the route and all the above, taking the old and mixing it with the new.
You know, I wanted to talk to you about that. You've been creating stamps for businesses that are involved with the Route 66 Passport Project, or people that just want to get a unique souvenir in, well, a little bit of a shameless self-plug. I have a book out, 100 Things to Do on Route 66. I did not realize that people were using that as a customizable souvenir, collecting stamps and signatures along the way.
I'm ate up with it. I absolutely love my stamp books. and I make sure to support the business. I don't walk in there just to get a stamp, but it really is a fun thing to do. And so if anybody, you know, would like some help, I'm willing to put you on my list. I need to get back into it now that the semester's over. But I've got Oklahoma Route 66 Association has one. I just have to mail it to Reese, but I'll see him in a few weeks, so he'll get it then. The Texas Association has one. I've got Bob Lyle at Lyle Art Gallery has one, a very good one now. Both of the museums in McLean, Texas have a book stamp that I've designed. Over in Tucumcari, New Mexico, I've branched out a little bit. Oh, that's loud. I'm sorry.
Now you're fine.
That's my computer going off there, I guess. But anyway, over at Tucumcari, the Motel Safari has one, and TP Curios now has one, specifically designed for their place. And hoping to branch out a little bit. I know Loretta's Burrito Hut there would like one at some point when I get it finished. I've also redone the stamp for the Midpoint Cafe, and she is in the Passport. So, and even if you're not in the Passport, I mean, I think it's just a fun thing to do. You know, bring your book, bring your easy guide, your maps, just get stamps and have some fun with it. Maybe, you know, frame it when you're going on your trip.
Well, it makes for a great customizable souvenir. And that's quite a nice, you know, that's a great service you're providing there. That's really generous of you.
Yeah, I'm not really charging. I just ask for reimbursement of the stamp, and because I see it as a learning experience. I'm still learning how to use the software, the digital media software. So because the professor that I took for the graphic design course wasn't the greatest. I have to learn a lot of it off YouTube, but doing these extra things like the book stamps or poster making and stuff like that has helped me learn more about the software. So, you know, and I'm thankful for some people, very generous people have, you know, offered me some money, and I do my best on the ticket, but I found some money in my car one day. Somebody snuck them in my car.
The Route 66 community is very generous. That's for sure.
Absolutely. They have made a home. I mean, they've just welcomed me into their home, and I'm so grateful for that. But yeah, so if you know anybody that would like some help, and I would love to get some the word out to other stops along the route. I get them made in Amarillo off Polk Street, and they're cost about $45 after tax.
How can they get a hold of you, Brady?
Well, you can try my email. I do pretty well of keeping that up. It's wilsonbrady2004@gmail.com. I'm also, you know, I answer my phone all the time, 936-827-0019. And just give me a call or Facebook. I mean, you can't miss my red hair on Facebook.
Well, that's the spirit. Yeah. Hey, one more. I just thought of something else. You got another big event coming up on Route 66 in Texas this fall, right?
Yes, the Motor Tour event. That's always a fun time. I was a part of my first ever Motor Tour in Texas last year, and now I'm helping plan this upcoming one, and so that's been fun. That will be the first weekend in June, and is it the 8th and the 7th?
What month?
Of June. No, sorry, October. October.
Yeah, no problem.
That is the first week. I can get my calendar here. Let's go for October. It's going to be October 5th and 6th. October 5th and 6th. We're basically going to do a good old cruise starting in Adrian, Texas. It is the 4th and the 5th. The 4th and the 5th is when it is. We'll start the cruise Friday morning in Adrian, Texas, and just cruise our way and do stops on the way in Vega, Bushland, planning some time in Amarillo because we're going to stay the night in Amarillo as a group. And then on the Saturday, we will cruise from Amarillo to Shamrock. And each night we have a fun little gathering, a banquet-style dinner, some door prizes. Those that bring their nice, fancy, classic cars, we have awards for those that bring those. And the night before the event kicks off, we do have a kickoff party. And this year, that will be in Vega, Texas, at their new community center building. And we'll have food trucks and silent auctions and just fun time with the community there in Vega. And Shamrock, too. Shamrock, we'll have a banquet night as well.
Vega, you know what? I tell you, Vega's really doing some things.
I love Vega.
Milburn Price Museum. I can't say enough about that. That is, for a small town museum, that is just an amazing stop.
Yes. Have you seen what they recently put out there? Oh my!
The Minions.
Oh my goodness! I cracked up laughing. That was such a fun little thing to see. It brightened up my day.
The museum is really great, and it's they were offering an opportunity for people to make their own souvenir, like a postcard. Those kind of interactive exhibits. That's really one crucial component for getting younger generations involved.
Absolutely. I know they have some elementary school tours that happen during the school semesters. And I love visiting with Mr. Greg Kahn, who is the curator of that museum and does a lot. And even going back to the Bug Ranch, he is one of our board members for the Bug Ranch. And his knowledge, just like mechanically and doing things, is just fantastic. And I can't say enough about it. I'm so thankful to know him and get to know him. And Vega is thriving. He is helping.
Vega, you know, it's just a quiet little town, but it's you could easily spend an afternoon in Vega and enjoy yourself without a lot of trouble.
Absolutely.
How's things in Groom, Texas?
Is going. The cross of our Lord is still there, and they get busy pretty regularly with people coming in, taking a little rest stop. And the Grill restaurant in town is very good. I love meeting with Miss Karen and Chrissy who run that restaurant there in Groom. Have you ever been there?
Yeah, I stay at the Chalet Inn every once in a while.
Okay.
Coming through someplace a little bit quieter when I'm. Yeah, I've stayed out there a couple times.
Good old fried biscuits in Groom, Texas, people. I highly recommend it. Go by and get you a fried biscuit. But other than that, Groom is doing okay. It's just a small town. I really wish there was more Route 66 stuff there, but it's hard. And the grill does a lot to support the Association of Texas Route 66. So we are very thankful for that. Last year's motor tour, we had lunch there in Groom, and she catered Philly cheesesteak and French dip sandwiches, and there was one more she did. I can't remember. It may have been a chicken fried steak sandwich. They were good, let me tell you.
Well, you know, yeah, the Texas Panhandle, and of course you can – you mentioned not being on Route 66, some things, but – you know, to really make a Route 66 trip special, you don't want to become myopic and just see Route 66, because it's, first of all, it's the people. And second of all, if your schedule allows and you can take some little side trips, your trip's going to be so much better. Like, of course, Paladuro Canyon, just south of Amarillo. Oh,
yes, absolutely. And I live even closer to Powder Canyon, and I love going out there. Such a fun place to go to.
You know, that's a surprise for folks. You're driving along the Panhandle, which is basically somewhat featureless. And then all of a sudden, just a few miles south of Amarillo, you have this absolutely gorgeous canyon country that's just absolutely astounding.
Well, and when you're just driving, like, if I live in Canyon, so I drive east to Paladuro, and I'm just driving through this flat old pasture land, and all of a sudden, bam, there's a hole in the ground.
Well, I'm really excited about the situation in Jericho. I'll be really following closely to see what people come up with on Metal Detecting Day, and I hope you guys don't get rained out too bad.
Hope not. I know County Road B was a little muddy a while ago. I saw Blanca post about that on her page, but hopefully not. Hopefully they still get some good fun out there today. And Oh, back to Groom real quick. Sadly, the Allsup's gas station has closed down in Groom, Texas. So no more Allsup burritos in Groom, Texas.
You know, that might be a blessing. Gas station burritos. Sometimes that's a bit questionable.
Well, I grew up on Allsup's burritos, and when I was traveling around Texas for light ag and livestock stuff, and yeah. It may be a blessing. You're right, Jim.
Blanca said the sun is shining in Jericho. So God bless. Dust off. If you're in the neighborhood, dust off your metal detectors, my friends.
Yes, please do.
No telling what you're going to find out there. I got two of those in my closet. If I was closer, you know, I'd be out there. I haven't used those in a couple of years, and I'd be dusting them off and heading out there. Because I have a feeling, if nothing else, I have a feeling folks are going to have fun out there today.
Yes, Mike Oldham, he is the curator and director of the Devil's Rope Museum. He's the son of Dilbert True, and he's going out there with his metal detecting gear, and so that they're fun folks to hang out with too.
Do you know if anything progressed on getting some designation for the POW camp there in McLean?
There is a historical marker out there.
Yes.
As far as that, no. Unfortunately, I don't. I would like to see something, but I haven't heard.
Right.
Then next time I hear from Ada Lester, I'll have to ask for you. So
I appreciate it. Keep me informed. Cool. Delbert was working on some projects out there. Showed me around at one time, and yes. That's another fascinating chapter.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, that BLW camp here is pretty cool to just read that history on it. And Delbert wrote a book about it too, way back when. And I have the book, and it's a pretty good read to read. It's small, short stories, but it's a good read.
Yeah. There is so much color. And you mentioned the mud out there at Jericho. Of course, that's what Jericho was famous or infamous for many, yep, many years. The old Jericho Gap out there. Well, you know, people really want an authentic Route 66 experience. There's a harebrained idea there for you. Set them up with Model A Fords and send them down through the Jericho Gap after a rain. An authentic Route 66 experience.
I'm down. Whoever wants to join me. Bring your Model T. Let's go.
I don't know how authentic people really want to go with this. I joke about this often, but there's such a fascination for things on Route 66. I wonder if a person could actually set up a Great Depression theme park and attract people.
That's the first I've heard of that. That's actually funny. I would like to see that.
Brady, I appreciate you immensely for what you're doing. I follow your exploits. And folks like you and Nolan and Reese Martin, and God bless, it's just great to see what you folks are doing and how another generation is approaching this. And it gives me, we don't want to become, again, myopia. We don't want to just focus on the centennial. We want to see the centennial as the first step to the bicentennial. And you folks are laying that foundation.
Exactly. Well, and I greatly appreciate your support and your conversations that we have, and learning from you as well. I love reading your old books and stories too. So thank you for having me today. And one last thing, you talked about, you know, leaving the next thing for, you know, the bicentennial. With the Bug Ranch development, though, that we're working on currently, we are having a fundraiser where you can permanently advertise a business, memorial for somebody that passed away, put your name in it, put a quirky, funny saying in the concrete. We're selling concrete shields in the concrete where you can put whatever you want in the maximum 42 characters in that shield. And they're $300 a space, but you're talking about leaving your mark on history. We are making history in Amarillo, Texas with this new Bug Ranch attraction. So anybody out there would like to advertise their business or association or support your family member, you can pay for a shield on our new website at the Bug Ranch Association. The website is bugranch66.com, and fill out the form and you can pay us on that website, or you can message the Bug Ranch Association Facebook page. Please go give that a follow and help us get the word out about what we're doing out there to help people make that trip. We're supposed to have a ribbon cutting June 14th towards the end of that Route 66 festival out there. So if you're in the area, come on by. Hopefully we still have it June 14th. We're waiting on the last few things with the city. Since this project is in the city limits, we're having to go through a bunch of hoops, of course.
The government's one of those things. It's kind of like a having a three-legged racehorse sometimes.
We're excited for that. And you know, the big thing with this is it's going to be ADA accessible. People that, you know, are handicapped are able to enjoy this experience with their family. And that's what we're most excited about too, because you can't do that at Cadillac Ranch right now.
No. Yeah. I Cadillac Ranch, I'm intrigued on how that became such a big attraction, and the Bug Ranch. It's like so many things on Route 66. It really defies my logic and common sense. And I'm always amazed. I'm fascinated to watch people, how excited they get about it.
Right. Yeah. And you know, I get excited more and more just to see what we're doing with this new Bug Ranch, and the improvements that we're going to be doing. We're going to have lights out there too. So you can see at night, maybe eventually a little gift shop stand of some sort, restrooms at some point soon. And, it's going to be a expansion project for the next years to come. And so we're very looking forward to it. And also, anybody ever wants to go see a good concert, Starlight Ranch Event Center right there, also with a Big Texan, highly recommend it.
Well, you got so many things there, you know, and the Big Texan, downtown Amarillo, the old section, is all, you know, it's overlooked a lot, but you've got a renovated old hotel, and the visitor center in Amarillo on Route 66. Those folks are doing a bang up job.
Yes, we've also got a cool car museum. Bill's Backyard Classics is basically just this guy's car collection, but it's worth a see. That's in Amarillo on Walt Washington Street. And then Jack Sizemore RV and Camper Museum as well. And those are fun little things that get overlooked a lot.
Now, Jack Sizemore, I've heard of that. I will write that down. An RV museum. Now, that's different and very intriguing.
They have, Jim, the original RV from the movie RV. Have you seen Robin Williams' movie?
I'm familiar with it, but I have not.
So they have that RV that was in the movie in that museum.
Well, you know, the RV situation, that's another, that's a museum that, that really is needed. That's got a great history. Wally Byam on how he started the Airstream trailer situation is pretty interesting. And I know we're kind of getting off topic, but a few years ago, I found a very unusual RV out in the ghost town of Chloride, Arizona, that had been built by a fellow named Royal Rounds. He built it after World War II. And since there was a housing shortage, his vision for this was not so much a recreational vehicle. It was a motorized home that you could take to construction sites and live in for a year or two. And he had built it out of war surplus. The framing was all aircraft aluminum. The skin was aircraft aluminum. It had aircraft plexiglass windows. But it was advanced. It was front-wheel drive with a V8 engine. It had radiant heating in the floors, air conditioning. Wow. Yeah, kind of a neat little gadget.
That would be cool. I would love to have something like that.
Brady, thank you for everything you're doing. And does anybody have any questions for Brady? Now's a good time to chime in.
I'm catching up on the chat myself here.
I will get information up on the website as soon as I can. It's about bugranch66.com. About the motor tour and the tour in October.
Yep. We'll get and that we're information also currently up. Restoring that Allen Reed Texaco station. And so the association is raising money for that currently. So that's never been good to promote. We are, moving forward on it. It's a little bit slow, but the time will come, and that's what matters.
The point is, you're moving forward. That's all that matters. Yep. You know, another one, one of the things that surprises me about the Centennial 2026, I'm hearing a lot, of course, about the Centennial, but I'm not hearing that a lot of communities are tying it into something else. The 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
Oh, I didn't even think about that, Jim. That's a good point.
And, you know, even better, here's another little bug to build an event. The 4th of July in 2026 is on a weekend. And so can you imagine a great patriotic 4th of July tied into a Route 66 centennial event on the main street of America?
That's a good idea. You got my brain thinking. That's dangerous, Jim.
Ideas are 10 cents a pound. Coming up with how to make something out of them, that's the challenge.
Yes, it is.
Brady, again, thank you very much. I'll give a few shout outs here to a couple friends along the road. Speaking of Texas, Route 66, if you're planning a Route 66 or just want a good road trip holiday where it's a turnkey setup, you don't have to worry about anything. I really recommend our good friends with Route Trip USA. They specialize in road trips in the United States and Canada. And they're like me and my wife here at Jim Hinckley's America. Before they send people out, they taste the enchiladas and they test the pillows themselves. They do a really, a bang up job there. And well, the Route 66 magic doesn't have to end at when the sun goes down, because you've always got places like the Roadrunner Lodge Motel in Tucumcari, New Mexico. And of course, the Cactus Inn Motel in McLean and the Wagon Wheel Motel in Cuba, Missouri, all good places. And well, if you want a smile or two, there's always the Uranus Fudge Company and General Store. If you've got a slant towards juvenile humor, that's a place to go.
I sure do. I'm not going to lie. that's come on, folks. Stay a night in McLean. Please do.
Yeah. That's a great place. And she's doing right next door to the Red River Steakhouse.
Yes. Yes. And thank you for mentioning about what was that? The tour group you just mentioned?
It's Route Trip USA.
Okay. I'm going to have to hit them up. I'm currently planning my first full excursion through Oklahoma in before Roadfest and maybe into Kansas and Missouri. So
they're based out of the UK, but they're really just great people. And I've got another one I'll throw out for you, a Gilligan's Route 66 Tours.
Okay. Yep, I've heard of Gilligan's.
Sam Murray, they're out of New Zealand, but they do a great job. They do a guided tour, but Sam takes it a step further. He works with Marion Pavel of Route 66 Navigation and creates a dedicated program. Plus, he puts together an incredible detailed route guide with trivia, with information. Wow. And he not only gives the guided tours, but he's got a fantastic self-drive operation where he will set everything up for you, your GPS, cell phone, everything you need, including this incredibly detailed route guide. And as a bonus, he tailors the trip self-drive tour to your needs. And he sets it up with, well, myself. When you stop in Kingman, he'll arrange for a walking tour downtown with me as a guide, different things of that nature. And he's also started Mississippi River tour now from Minneapolis to New Orleans. And I highly recommend that as well. If a person doesn't want to do the planning themselves or is nervous about these things or concerned, both of those companies can just, it's a turnkey setup. You won't have a thing to worry about.
Okay, that's good to know, because I'm currently looking for a halfway sleeping stay between Elk City and I was considering staying the night in Chandler or Stroud. And so if anybody has any good information on where to do that, let me know.
The Lincoln Motel in, I believe it's Stroud, is pretty decent.
Okay. Okay.
That's a good spot there. Let's see. Oh, great places to eat along the way. Got the Highway Cafe in Veneta. Beth Hilburn's doing a fantastic job. And I've got a problem with Veneta, Oklahoma. Beth Hilburn does a great job. And just good food, good people. But down the road about a mile in Veneta proper is Clanton's Cafe. And they've been there since 1929, one family owned. And it's hard to eat a meal and a good piece of pie and then drive 2 miles and have another good meal and a piece of pie. That just creates all kinds of problems.
Yes, it does. I'm looking forward to my excursion, that's for sure. I'm definitely going to stay in Veneta for a little bit too.
Yeah, very good. Hey, my friends, we will do this again next week. Brady, thank you for joining us this morning, taking time for your schedule. I want to thank everybody who took time out this morning to join us. I hope we inspired a road trip or two. Next week, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to visit with a fella who's kind of made it a personal mission to dispel myths about electric vehicles. And he's an adventurer, shall we say. One of the things he's done is set out with his Tesla to visit every Indian reservation in the state of Arizona. He's also made some other epic trips through Utah and the backcountry. And I think you're going to find it kind of interesting, because we're going to get into not only road trips, but we're going to be talking about myths, real, imagined. We're going to talk about electric vehicles. Might be a little bit of interest there for you. And a week after that, I've got a great guest lined up on the 26th. Let's see here. We've got, let me get these dates for you. Next week on the 19th, we'll be talking Teslas. And then on the 26th, we're going to be talking to Jeffrey Schmidt. He's got a great new book out called Here Today, Oklahoma's Ghost Towns, Vanishing Towns, and Towns Persisting Against the Odds.
Oh.
And I'm really eager to talk with him. His book is really, really fascinating. So if you can join us, excuse me, if you can join us, that'd be great. Invite your friends. And, of course, the programs are archived on the Jim Hinckley's America website, Spotify, and most of the podcast platforms. My friends, if we don't have any questions, I think I've been chewing on your ear for better part of an hour. So,
I sure have. I'm a talker, guys, so careful.
I have been told I can do this for hours, even if I'm the only one in the room, and still enjoy myself.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Well, thank you again, Jim. I sure appreciate it. And happy Mother's Day to all those out there, and keep doing what you're doing too. So
thank you, guys. Hey, we'll send this out with a little bit of music from our friends, Joe and Woody, and well, the Boys of the Road crew, who just happened to be performing in Galena, Kansas for their centennial setup real soon. And take a listen to their website. Take a look at their website and look for the song Under the Neon, and get ready for an evening under the neon in Shamrock, Texas.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Happy Mother's Day to those out there.
Take care, my friends.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Until next week, my friends. Vaya con Dios. Adios, mi amigos.